WMFO, Medford.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. This is Arthur, rebroadcasting old broadcasts from the golden age of radio. We'll have another double billing of adventure and western this morning. And first half of the show will be an 80-year-old episode of The Shadow. I believe that original air date is the 5th of June, 1938. And that'll be followed by a 65-year-old vintage of The Six Shooter. Of course, starring Jimmy Stewart. I'll let the narrator introduce what show it is for The Shadow. Of course, starring Orson Welles.
Future science, the master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Cranston is known to the underworld as The Shadow. Never seen, only heard. His true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Tenor with the Broken Voice.
I just adore hearing Pagliacci. It seems to be the most...
This is delightful. I'm so glad we're going to hear Pagliacci. It's my favorite opera.
It is beautiful, Margot. You know, they say this young tenor, Hagen Radcliffe, is a gorgeous voice.
I hear he's marvelous. Mm. He should be magnificent in that closing aria of the first act, Vesti d'Azzurro.
Good
evening, Margot.
Good evening, Amand. What are you listening to on the radio?
Don't you recognize it, Margot? The opera Pagliacci.
Oh, yes. And it's being broadcast from that same opera house where Hagen Radcoff's voice cracked during the closing aria of the first act we heard last week.
Yes. Too bad. Just as Radcoff had reached the end of the long ladder that leads to fame, the boy should fail. But, Margot, I'm not quite sure that we've seen the end of that tragedy.
Why, what do you mean, Lamont?
And just that a great tragedy invariably has repercussions. You might like it to throwing a stone in a quiet pond. There's never just one ripple, but a wave of them. But I'm afraid I'm becoming morbid. Who's singing the tenor role in Pagliacci tonight?
No? Harley Fitz.
Oh, yes.
He has quite a lovely voice, too, hasn't he? This is that same aria that Hagen Radcliffe's voice cracked on last week.
Turn up the radio a bit, Margot.
Yes, I will.
We regret that this brings the broadcast of Pagliacci to a close.
What?
There's been a tragedy at the opera. A sandbag fell from the ceiling, hitting Harley Fiss, the tenor, killing him instantly.
Oh.
We now return you to our studios.
Oh, Lamont, how ghastly.
See, my dears, I said ripples of the stone falling in the quiet pond, starting to spread.
Then you think this has a connection with what happened to Radcoff last week?
This is no time to think, Margot. I'm going to investigate.
Oh, Lamont, can the shadow never rest?
Not as long as crime and outrage never rest. Hello?
Hello, Commissioner Weston?
Yes?
This is Clyde Burke of the Classic. Say, Commissioner, what about the death of Harley Fisk at the Opera House last night?
Well, what about it? A very regrettable accident.
Maybe. But listen, Commissioner, there's a story in here somewhere. Just the week before, Hagen Radcoff was singing that same song when he lost his voice for good.
Yes, I know that.
Well, we figured on running a story on how maybe that song is jinxed. And we wanted a statement from you. You know, they're planning to do the same opera again tomorrow night.
Of all the cheap sensationalism. You can't expect me to be a party to such a story.
Why not?
Good day, Mr. Burke.
Commissioner Weston, you sign these orders for the traffic attack?
Yes. Hello.
Good morning, Commissioner Weston.
Oh, it's you, Shadow. What do you want now?
I have some suggestions for you. You know they are doing Pagliacci again tonight.
So I've been told.
Weston, you must be sure at least two squads of detectives cover every section of the opera house. Afraid there'll be trouble again during the singing of the closing aria.
No, I won't do that, Shadow.
Weston, you're a very foolish man. There's catastrophe in the cards for tonight. You can prevent it if you follow my instructions.
Shadow, I don't need you or any other man to tell me how to run this office.
Commissioner Weston, didn't your grandmother ever tell you that old saying, there are none so blind as those who will not see? My grandmother did, and again I say it is absolutely imperative that you have a detail guarding the opera house tonight.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm too busy to discuss it any further.
Isn't it exciting? Did you read that story in the Classic about the opera Pagliacci?
Yes, I did. You know, my husband usually goes to sleep every time we come here to the opera house. But tonight, my dear, he's positively sitting on the edge of his chair.
Oh, can you blame him?
Well, Henry, do you think the tragedies will repeat themselves?
Well, we'll know in a few minutes. Curtain's just about to go up on the first act.
Yes, so I understand. Oh, say, isn't that Commissioner Weston coming in?
Hey, George, it is. Say, maybe there is something in this after all. Good evening, Commissioner.
Good evening.
Good evening. You're here to try and stop another tragedy, Commissioner?
Absurd. There's nothing to that tragedy nonsense. I'm here solely to listen to the music, and I wouldn't have even done that if my wife hadn't insisted.
Did you hear what he said?
Well, I guess there's nothing to it, then.
We could have stayed home and played bridge, too.
Yeah.
Curtain going up. Curtain going up.
Well, I wonder if it'll happen
that asbestos curtain. How many times do you want to hear Piazza here 11 minutes after 6 in the morning? Because my total, that's 3.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work, I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, 3 more fingers for everyone over 60, 2 over 50, 1 over 40, 1 more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, 2 if you're very overweight, and 3 if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up 5 or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
We'll resume with the tenor with a broken voice.
Mm-hmm.
gentlemen, we have called this meeting of the board of directors of the opera company because we feel that there now exists a crisis and we directors must come to an immediate decision. You're all aware of the regrettable events of the past week. Gentlemen, we must decide whether or not to suspend opera for the balance of the season. I call on Commissioner Weston, who has kindly consented to come here this evening and advise me. Commissioner Weston.
Well, gentlemen, I'm placed in an awkward position. I realize that to close the opera house for the balance of the season will mean that a number of people will lose their jobs. Not only the stars, but many who can ill afford it. Stagehands, ushers, porters, extras, and many others who are necessary to an institution of this size. But, gentlemen, the question is, dare you continue?
That is indeed the question, Commissioner. Gentlemen, Mr. Hagen Radcliffe has also consented to appear before us this evening and give his opinion. Mr. Radcliffe.
Gentlemen, my heart is very sad. Not only because I lose my beautiful voice, but also these tragedies that happen when the opera Pagliaccia is sung. But I do not think you have to close the opera house. It is only Pagliacci that must close. Because if Pagliacci is never given again, these terrible accidents will finish.
Yes, yes, that makes sense. Why couldn't we just eliminate Pagliacci?
Because, gentlemen, these tragic events are not accidents.
Who said that?
I know that voice. The shadow is here.
The shadow?
Here?
Yes, gentlemen. Here in the shadows.
Shadow, what do you know about these tragedies in the opera?
Enough, Commissioner Weston, to realize the person who started this reign of terror will never stop until he is brought to justice. You'd be content for a time if you discontinued Pagliacci. But the burning, blistering hate that motivates him would force him to strike again and again.
Look here, Shadow. If you have any information, you're obstructing justice in not turning it over to me.
At present, Commissioner, I have only a theory. But I will solve these tragedies for you within the next 48 hours.
Commissioner Weston, I do not agree with the Shadow. I believe Pagliacci is cursed, and that it is only that aria that will bring tragedies.
Mr. Radcliffe, although many times I don't agree with the Shadow, I must admit he has helped me solve many tough cases.
Thank you, Commissioner Weston. I will trap this killer for you if you'll do exactly as I say. Tomorrow night, you must once again give the opera Pagliacci.
Gentlemen, have there not been tragedies enough?
Shadow, what do you intend to do if Pagliacci is sung again?
I cannot tell you my plans, Commissioner, but you must trust me. Remember, the Shadow has never failed you yet.
Well, gentlemen, though I hesitate to advise you to do this, nevertheless, in my opinion, this is a case for the Shadow.
Thank you again, Commissioner.
But, Shadow, if there are any tricks...
There will be none. Gentlemen, will you do as I ask? Will you give Pagliacci again a week from tonight? If you do so, arrange to keep Box 7 vacant. For Box 7 will be occupied by the Shadow.
We had best take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No, never!
I beg your pardon, Mr. Radcliffe. You have no vote. Only the directors are entitled to vote.
But you cannot do this. Pagliacci is cursed. It started by breaking my voice. Death will follow it every time.
Mr. Radcliffe,
no,
we know how you
feel.
You
cannot do.
Understand the strain you're under as a result of the recent events. But try to calm yourself, sir.
I am sorry, gentlemen. I am sorry.
Will one of you gentlemen assist Mr. Radcliffe to his home,
yes,
please?
Yes, I'll be glad to.
Margot Lane. Calling Margot Lane. We have important work to be done tonight. Meet me in front of the Opera House at 12:30. That is all.
Good evening, Mike. Kind of nice tonight.
It is that. Sure hate to go inside and make me rounds.
Well, Mike, aren't you a little scared having to guard the opera house at night after all them killings?
Sure, I've been night watchman here at the opera house for going on 8 years now. I ain't going to start trembling at this late day.
Well, I guess you're safe as long as you don't start singing that mystery song.
Never a bit of fear of that. Wearing of the Green is the only tune I ever sing. Well, good night, my lad. I must make another inspection tour of the opera house.
Dee 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 dee
Heaven saints preserve us. This here opera house is the darkest spot in the world.
Who's that? I see you over there.
All right, Mike.
Oh, I didn't know it was you, sir.
Come here a minute, Mike. I want to show you something.
Yes, sir, I was...
Oh, don't do that, sir. Not to me. Oh, the knife, sir.
No one will stand in my path. Now I will complete my work in box 7. So, the electric cord runs from the asbestos curtain, and I connect it here to the powder. Tomorrow, let the shadow call for them to lower the asbestos curtain, and his own words will seal his doom. He will blow the opera house to pieces.
The opera house isn't quite so glittering at this hour.
It's so dark, it almost seems haunted.
It is haunted in a sense, Margot. Haunted perhaps by the ghost of the immortal Caruso, come to sing at last duet with his great friend Shayapi.
Lamont, look over there. The body on the floor.
The night watchman has been stabbed. Killer has struck again.
Oh, Lamont, when will this end?
If my plans work, tomorrow we'll see this atrocious murderer brought to justice.
But why? Why did he kill the watchman?
Probably the watchman discovered him before we arrived, but you'd better go home now. I'll send for an ambulance.
Oh, Lamont, please be careful.
Don't worry, Margot. The killer will not return tonight. She'll be here for tomorrow's opera. I have a ticket for you in box 6. I will be in box 7, in the shadows.
Hello, Commissioner Weston.
Well, Shadow, you don't seem to be able to do much about this opera killer. Thanks to my trust in you, the night watchman was almost killed last night. If someone hadn't given him first aid before the ambulance arrived, he'd surely have died. As it is, he'll only be... Well, he'll be unconscious for 3 days.
Weston, I gave that watchman the necessary treatment that saved his life. And I will unmask the killer tonight's performance of Pagliacci.
There isn't going to be any performance of Pagliacci tonight. I'm going to force them to cancel it and close the opera house for the balance of the season.
Weston, you can't do that. You'll only turn this atrocious killer into other channels. He's at the breaking point now. Unless he is captured, he will soon terrorize every face of entertainment, the whole entertainment world. You must do as I say. I will see that no harm comes to anyone at tonight's performance, but only if you follow my instructions.
Well, I'm a fool to trust you, Shadow. What do you want me to do?
Arrange to have everyone connected with the opera company present at tonight's concert. All singers, even the members of the board. You personally assign their seats to them and station a plainclothes man on each side of every one of them.
Well, all right, Shadow, I'll do it. But this is your last chance.
Unless I underestimate this murderous madman, it is indeed my last chance, Commissioner. Goodbye.
Well, my dear, I didn't expect to find you here, Pagliacci. Aren't you terrified?
No. I think the whole thing was only a series of unfortunate coincidences.
I don't know.
After all, if there were any danger, they would hardly repeat the opera tonight. I heard a rumor that they were doing it at the request of the Shadow. He guaranteed to catch the murderer tonight. Oh, isn't it thrilling? I can hardly wait until the fatal aria is sung.
Everything all set, Cardona?
Everyone connected with the opera company is present and accounted for, Commissioner. I got 2 men detailed, each one of them. Don't seem to be no trouble so far.
No, but the trouble never started until the closing aria of the first act. Be on your toes.
Yes, sir.
Curtain going up, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the fatal aria now. Vestir la luz.
stop the performance instantly.
Bring down the asbestos curtain. This is Commissioner Weston. Bring down the asbestos curtain.
Under no circumstances is that asbestos curtain to be lowered.
Why not?
For reasons you will discover in a moment, Commissioner. Send some men to prevent anyone lowering that curtain. You value your lives and the lives of everyone present.
Who is he there? Listen to the shadows. Don't lower the curtain. Listen to him.
Cardona.
Yes, Commissioner.
Take some men immediately. Get backstage and guard the ropes that control the asbestos curtain.
Yes, sir. Come along. You get back there and see no one touch that curtain.
Now, Mr. Ratcliffe.
I?
Yes, you. You look relieved. You didn't expect Commissioner Weston to order the asbestos curtain lowered, did you?
What do you mean?
You didn't want it lowered until you had a chance to escape out of the theater yourself.
Why should I want to leave the theater?
Because you know that if the curtain were lowered, it would operate a switch and explode the dynamite you planted in this box.
He lies! The Shadow himself planted the gunpowder in that box. He is the guilty one!
Very clever, Ratcliffe. But how did you know there was gunpowder? I said there was dynamite. Ratcliffe, you were the killer who has been terrorizing the Opera House.
That's a lie, a lie!
You were also one of the few who knew that the Shadow would be in Box 7. Ratcliffe, you are guilty.
Yes, I did it. I did it. I lost my voice in this opera, and with it my chance to be the greatest to ever sing Pagliacci. But I swore then I would be the last, that nobody else would sing it. I would have been too, if it weren't for you. Curse you, Shadow!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last of the opera murders. The stone has sunk at last to the bottom of the pond, and the ripples are ended. The curse of this opera and the dangers attached to the performance have been removed. The people of this city may again enjoy the beauty of the music drama without fear of death.
Version of one of the many.
And there you have it, the conclusion of another Shadow. That was the tenor with the broken voice, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in the Shadow, and Margot Stevenson as Margot Lane. I still get a kick out of that asbestos curtain. And the stone has sunk to the bottom of the pond. Again, the original air date was the 5th of June, 1938. That was part of season 1B, a summer season that they added because of the success of the show. Next, we're going to go out west. That's for the caller that phoned in inquiring about that Shadow. Yeah, it's Pagliacci, I believe, is the opera, the clown, translation, the clown. Don't ask me who did it. But it is not a pharmaceutical they're talking about. So to take... yes, somebody called and asked if it was a pharmaceutical. We'll start here.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends. Now, in just a moment...
This one's Red Lawson's Revenge. Its original air date was the 18th of October, 1953. And of course, starring James Stewart. This one has a bit of history. This was the only one that wasn't written by the original developer of the series. And according to my notes here, I can't find or recall his name. This is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio.
I hadn't seen Mary and Dan for pretty near 3 years, not since they left the panhandle. So I figured as long as I was riding up through the Platte River country, I might as well swing out of my way a piece and look in on them. Now, we've been real good friends for a long time. It was kind of like going home. And the closer I got, the more I kept thinking back, remembering, kind of daydreaming. You know, riding across prairie flats sort of does that to you. Your horse, he kind of finds his own trail mostly, and you just slouch easy-like in the saddle and listen to the hoofbeats, steady, regular. Things you haven't thought about for years sneak into your head. Anyhow, I still had a day to go, and I was watching out for a good spot to bed down when I saw this campfire up ahead. Well, the way I figure, human beings are always better company than coyotes, so I gave Scar a flick with the reins and headed up toward it. Whoa, easy now, boy. There we are. Easy. Ah, howdy.
Hiya.
You'd rather camp private?
Well, climb down. Pour yourself some Jala.
Well, thanks. Easy, boy. Hey, wait, that smells good.
Yeah.
You, any notion about how far it is Walnut Creek?
20 miles or so, right? That where you're going?
Yeah, I stopped over there. A couple of friends there I haven't seen in quite a while.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a fellow there I ain't seen for a while neither.
That's all. Hey, by George, there's good coffee.
Yeah, I've been hunting him for over 3 years. Finally located him. I'm going to kill him.
How come?
He murdered my kid brother 4 years ago in Laredo. Shot him down in the street.
Yeah. Well, another killing won't bring him back.
Oh, nothing will bring him back. After I killed Dan Mailer, nothing will bring him back neither.
Dan Mailer?
That's right, Ponce.
Huh?
Yeah, I knew who you was. As soon as you rode up to that fire and I got a look at that gun of yours. Britt Ponsett. The fellow they call a six-shooter.
Well, you must have known I was a friend of Dan's. How come you told me all this?
Well, I figure you'll warn him. And that's fine with me. I want him to know. Have time to get scared, you know, maybe try to run away. I like it if he runs a while first. I catch up with him. You tell him that, Ponsett. You tell him Red Lawson's coming to kill him. Ain't nothing he can do about it.
Well, thanks for the coffee. Easy, boy. Now, Lawson, I reckon Dan won't run. I'll be seeing you. Come on, boy. Come on, Scott. That's the trouble with the past. There wasn't only good things in it. It got some bad ones, too. And one of the bad ones was reaching out for Dan and Mary. I didn't know this fellow Lawson. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I did know Dan. And I knew if he'd killed somebody back there in Texas, it hadn't been murder. It was long about
middle of forenoon when I rode up the dirt road between the rows of cottonwoods, turned into the yard. Old hound dog came charging around the side of the house, sounding a lot meaner than he looked. Oh, boy. Wolf Star. Ah, here now, here now. Now quit it. Yeah, you don't want to bite anybody. Nice fella. Go on, tell him you got company. Go on, boy, go on. Go on. The place had a good feel to it. Quiet, peaceful. And then I remembered Lawson.
Oh, I just can't believe it.
Hiya, Mary. Gee, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Dan, come on up and see who's here. Hurry. He's been working in the barn fixing up one of the plows. How are you?
Hey, you haven't changed a bit, Mary, unless you're a little prettier than me.
Oh, you're...
Sorry?
Don't be a ring.
Hiya, Dan.
Son of a gun. You stayed away too long.
Well, things came up, Dan. You know how it is.
Yeah.
You're sure looking good, both of
them. Oh, feeling good, too.
Settling down is what does it, Britt.
Yeah, she took a good saddle man and turned him into a poor plow man. What do you think of that?
That's not true, Dan. We've got the best stand of corn west of the Omaha. What's really great, though, Britt, is peace.
Peace.
No more gunfighting, the range wars. Never knowing whether Dan would come home sitting up in his saddle or tied onto it. That's all in the past now. Why, Dan doesn't even wear a gun anymore. And that's the way I want it, Britt. It's the kind of life I want from... Oh, have we got a surprise for you.
Oh, well, you know, I... Kind of hard to surprise, you know. You remember?
That's what you think. Come on inside. Now, don't you tell him, Dan.
No.
Oh, you'll see, Britt.
Let's see. What a great... Could we... One of those newfangled player pianos, is that it?
Oh, no, a piano. That's the most ridiculous guess I ever heard of.
Well, it sure couldn't be anything that
Look.
Hmm? Well, I'll be darned. Well, I'll be... Doggone. It's a baby. Well, which kind is it, Mary?
Not it. Hmm? That's young Britt. He'll be a year and a half old next month.
That name was Mary's idea, Britt. I sure wouldn't have wished it on him.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Oh, he's all upset. Hasn't had his nap out. Rich will have to look him over later. You and Dan go on outside now and let me quiet him down.
Oh, sure, Mary. I can't have my namesake all upset.
Are you hungry, Britt?
Oh, I'm always hungry. You know that, Mary.
Good. Got some buttermilk cornbread in the oven. Be ready in a minute.
You know, Britt, Mary is right. This is a good life. I never thought I'd settle down and like it, but I sure have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan, I guess Mary can't hear us out here, can she?
Oh, she can't hear us. Why, what's the matter, Britt?
I met a fellow on the trail last night, Dan. Name's Red Lawson.
Lawson?
Says you shot his brother in Laredo about 4 years ago.
Lawson. Kurt Lawson. Yep. Yeah, I did, Britt. He was one of the Bracken gang, that bunch of rustlers that pulled an ambush on me when I was working for the Circle J Ranch. Well, I guess I better dig out the shooting irons and go after him.
No, wait a minute, Dan.
Wait, nothing. He's probably holed up in town. The odds will be better if I go after him instead of waiting for him to come to me.
Yeah, but what about Mary?
Well, that's just it. If I catch him in town, it'll keep him from coming out here. What about her, Britt? What do you mean?
Well, she's happy now, Dan. She figures this kind of thing is all over and done with.
Well, she'll sure find out different if he comes out here gunning for me.
Well, maybe he won't, though. Maybe, Dan, maybe I can do something.
Britt, I've always fought my own battles.
But you've got Mary now. You've got the baby.
And you're a lot faster with a gun than I am. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, Dan. There are just other answers besides killing, that's all. Or maybe we can find one. Anyway, we can try, can't we? I saddled up Scarbet early the next morning and rode into town alone. Figured I'd have a talk with the sheriff. After all, this was his job when you come right down to it. Well, He wasn't in his office at the county jail. He was out of town for the next 3 days. So I walked down the main street trying to figure out what to do. This wasn't much of a town, Walnut Creek. There's a couple of blocks of clapboard buildings, boardwalk along the front of them, sheet iron awnings up over, and nothing much stirring but the dogs. Sleepy, quiet, real nice and peaceful for everybody except me.
Fred!
Huh? Oh, Mary.
Oh, no now. Oh. Well, you were certainly an early bird this morning.
Well, Mary, does Dan know you came into town by yourself?
Well, I don't know, Britt. I come in alone every day or two. Why shouldn't I? Something wrong, Britt?
No. I just wonder, that's all.
Actually, I think he was too busy to notice I'd left. You know what he was doing? Cleaning his guns. You're a bad influence, Britt.
Well,
I think you've started him thinking about things...
Well, Ponset, how about it? You give him my message?
What?
Lawson. Mary, I'll see you later, huh?
Well, all right, Britt.
Oh, now, there ain't no need of the lady.
No. Goodbye, Mary. I'll see you later, huh?
All right, Britt. If you say so. Giddy up. Come on.
Mary, huh? Dan's wife, maybe. I hear he's got a kid, too.
Yeah, maybe you hear too much, Lawson. And talk too much, too. Maybe you don't ride enough.
Well, I'll ride. When I'm through here. When I get even.
Yeah, but Dan told me about that. Your brother tried to ambush him. He was in with the Bracken gang.
That don't make no difference to me. He was my brother. Dan Mailer was in my place. He might feel the same way. Maybe I'll give him a chance to feel the same way. Now that I know he's got a wife, kid.
Now, Lawson, if you touch me or
you... Yeah,
kid.
I know. I know a lot. But once I've done what I come here to do, I don't care what happens afterwards. You, Dan Mailer, can make no move until I do. You see how it stacks up, Ponce? I got all the cars.
And he turned his back and he walked off down the street and I stood there watching him go. Knowing he was right. He did have all the cards. There was only one thing in the world he wanted. Revenge. And he didn't care what it cost to get it. Even his life. Dan and I couldn't move first, and afterwards it'd be too late.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Stories of show business that Eddie Cantor tells on Show Business Show, each Thursday on the NBC Radio Network. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
I found Mary finally at the general store, and I stayed with her while she bought some things. Then we headed back to the farm. Just like a woman, she was curious about the fellow I'd stopped to talk with. Wondered why I hadn't introduced her. I had a real hard time stalling her off, but I managed to. With Dan, it was different. Dan? Are you in there, Dan?
Yeah, come on in, Britt.
cleaning my guns.
Oh, forget it, Dan. There are better ways.
Yeah? You got one figured?
No. No, not yet. I saw Lawson in town a while ago, Dan.
Oh? You talked to him any?
Yes, I talked to him. I reckon you better stay close to Mary and the boy.
Why? What do you mean? What do you mean, Britt? Did he say anything?
No, not exactly. He saw Mary in town, though.
What a dirty...
Well, I didn't let him talk to her, Dan. She wondered about it, though. She'll probably ask you later.
That settles it, then. I hadn't even thought of that side of it. Britt, I'm going after him.
You wouldn't have a chance, Dan.
You're selling me kind of short, ain't you?
No, I don't mean it that way. Lawson wouldn't draw even if you called him. That's not what he's after, don't you see? You'd have to kill him in cold blood, and I don't think you could do that, Dan.
No. No, I couldn't. Not even Lawson. What are we going to do, Britt?
Well, we waited and watched. The day passed, no sign of Lawson, nothing happened. But instead of feeling easier, we just got more keyed up. Mary didn't seem to catch on anything was wrong. Then supper was over and the night started to come on. And we just sat around talking while Mary got the baby off to sleep, singing to him and rocking him. The katydid start chirping close. Way off toward the hills, the coyotes took up and answered them. Inside was sort of quiet and gentle.
He's finally gripped it all.
Yeah, he looks sound asleep.
Just look at him lying there, completely helpless. And so lovable, you could just eat him.
Well, I suppose he'll get himself some hair and teeth someday. Maybe look a little more human then.
Dan, that's a fine way to talk about your own son.
That's when I heard it. Sound outside. A horse stamped just one or two times. Like somebody was holding too tight a rein on him. Scar and Dan's stock were all in the corral. Over next to the barn. This was right up close to the house. I didn't let on to Mary or Dan.
What's the matter, Britt? You getting restless?
It's too many years on the trail, I guess. I think maybe I'll amble outside. I get a little fresh air.
Well, watch out for the coyotes, Britt. They grow them big around here. Dangerous, too.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on it. Coming out of the light that way, I was blind as a bat. I stopped on the porch. I waited a minute so I could get used to the dark. And I stood there listening to the sounds coming out of the night. The katydids. The coyotes. Then I heard it again. I moved around the corner of the house. It was all quiet. No sign of anybody. I drew fast and fired at the light. Then I could hear a horse getting away.
Rick, you all right?
Yeah, Dan. I was lost. He got away.
Rick, what in the name of heaven were you trying to do?
You all right, Mary?
Small thanks to you if I am. That first shot didn't miss me or the baby by more than 6 inches.
Well, I'm sorry, Mary. There was a coyote out there, and I didn't realize...
Didn't realize? You fool. You might have killed us both, and you didn't realize.
Stop it, Mary. Britt was...
No. No, she's right, Dan. It's my fault. I just didn't think, that's all.
Britt. I think you've worn a gun so long it's beginning to affect your mind.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Look, I think maybe I'll ride into town for a while. Nobody minds. I'm awful sorry, Mary. I'll see you later, hmm?
I ought to go with him, Mary.
Why? After a fool trick like that, he ought to be alone. Nobody should be around him. It isn't safe to be.
Oh, you don't understand, Mary. You just don't... Yeah. Well, let's go back in the house.
Yeah.
What?
Let's all go back in.
Dan!
Lost.
You... Easy, Mailer. You see how it is. Gun ain't pointed at you. One crazy move and your wife will get it. All right. Let's all go inside. Go on, move. Well... Nice place. Yes, sir. Real nice place. Got a storeroom over there? Mayor.
Yeah.
Get inside, both of you. I said get inside.
Come on, Mary.
Ah. That up to hold you? Huh?
I stopped. Horse car. Whoa, boy. Hold up here. Oh. I could hear him up front. I could hear him. I've heard a lot of horses on the trail. Enough of them to know that this one had an empty saddle on him. I read Lawson hadn't left that farm at all. Anywhere around here. Dan? Where's this? Where's that? Dan? Oh, the storeroom. Oh, all right, just a second. Wait till I get this. I'll probably get this door open.
Where is he?
There's nobody here, Dan.
The baby!
What?
Where's the baby?
I don't know. Dan!
And Lawson was here, waited for you to leave and locked us up. He kept coming over to the storeroom door, telling us what he was going to do.
He said he'd burn the house, all kinds of things.
He couldn't have got away. He was here just a minute ago.
And he has the baby.
Rich.
Wait a minute. He's got to come over here to the barn to get the horse, huh? Grab your gun. Come on, Dan.
Stay here, Mary. Don't come out of the house.
He's got the baby. This won't be easy.
I know. I can't figure why he waited. He had all of us. I can't figure it.
Yes, he's waited 3 years. He just wanted to enjoy it, that's all. All right, come on, we better separate. No use making it easy for him.
Right, Bridge.
Hold it. Right where you are.
The moon came out from behind the cloud. I could see him now standing right in the barn door, right in the open, like he wasn't afraid of anything. And then I saw why he wasn't afraid. He was holding a gun in his hand, not pointing it at us, though. It was aimed at a little bundle squirming in the hay behind him.
I reckon you can see how things stand. One movement's all over for the kid. All right, Mailer. Drop your gun.
I'm the one you're after, Lawson. All right, you got me. How about leaving Mary and the baby out of it? I killed your brother. They didn't.
Hey, you'd miss him, though, wouldn't you? I guess you'd miss him real bad.
Who are you?
Hey. Careful, mate.
Dan just stood there, helpless. Hands up in the air. The moon was out full now. I knew I could get a clear sight on Lawson, but I didn't dare to draw and fire. He'd still have time to jerk that trigger. The gun muzzle was about 3 inches from the baby's head.
All right, Ponce. Move on over next to Mailer. I want you both where I can see you. Go on, move.
I walked over and stood beside Dan.
4 years, Mailer. 4 years I've been dreaming about this. Now, it's even better than I thought. I didn't know you'd have a family. I didn't know I'd get the six-shooter along with you.
It's our fight, Lawson. Why don't you leave the rest of them out of it?
I had a brother once. 4-for-1 makes a pretty fair payoff.
I kept watching his gun. It was the only chance. If it swerved for 1 second, I'd make a play, but it didn't swerve. And the time was running out. And then... then I caught something from the corner of my eye. Just the bare flicker of it. It was over in the... over at the side of the house. It was Mary. I made my draw.
Lawson! Here!
Why, you... you dropped him, Brick.
Now make sure, Dan. I know, we've got to make sure.
Oh. Is that sure enough for you?
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's all right, Mary.
Oh, thank you,
Mary, if anybody had told me that you could do what you just did, I...
here now.
I don't
know. Come to Mother. You mean after the way I've always felt about guns? And after you tried to keep all this from me?
Well, I...
Dan told me all about it when we were locked in the storeroom.
Oh, there now, darling. It's all right now.
Britt, I saw what was happening out here, and I remembered the rifle, and... Well, after all, I mean, there was nothing else to do. All right now, darling. All right.
About 3 days later, I said goodbye. But I knew I'd be coming back that way someday. Dan and Mary aren't just the kind of friends a man forgets. Dan is a tough cowpoke from the range country, all settled down and liking it. And that Mary, she was gentle and sweet, and firing at a killer to save a baby's life. And that baby, you know, naming him Britt the way they'd done, you know, that gives you kind of a funny feeling, having a baby named after you. Kind of a good feeling. I figured I'd probably be telling the boys all about that when I got to Wyoming.
The truce in Korea doesn't mean we should stop writing letters to our men and women in service. Mail from home is just as important now as it ever was. In some respects, it's even more important. The action, the strain, the anxieties of war can keep a soldier's mind occupied. But when the letdown comes, the time to relax, that's when morale needs a shot in the arm. Your soldier knows the shooting is over. He's done his big job, and now he wants to get home. But unfortunately, there's still a lot to keep him for a while. So don't let him down. Help keep up his morale. Write that letter today.
Five years later, Korea is still in the news. So that was Red Lawson's Revenge. Let's see. Starring, of course, James Stewart. Barney Phillips played Dan. Shirley Mitchell played Mary. And Paul Richards played Red Lawson. That one was written by Les Crutchfield and not the usual story writer, Frank Burt.